You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation,
it's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most die-hard Georgia fans in the country.
Here are your hosts,
Tyler and Charlie.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast. I'm Tyler, and joining me today here in the Glory UGA studio, if that's what you want to call my home office, we'll go with it. But joining me today is my co-host, Charlie. And Charlie, it's good to have you back, as always.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How are you holding up?
I'm okay. Why should I not be holding up? Well,
we might not play again on Saturday.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm trying to like not think about that. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, so if you guys haven't heard, like, who knows? We might not be playing again this week, which, like, it sucks under any circumstances to have a game postponed or canceled. I mean, this one gets postponed, it might not be played. Who knows? But like, when the last vision of Georgia football that we have was the loss in Jacksonville, it's like, oh my God, just let me play anyone, please. We'll play Clark Central High School. Let us play somebody so that we can get that memory of Florida off our minds. At least like get that sour taste out of my mouth. I hate that. After a bad loss like that, it takes this long to get a game in. I mean, please God, let us play this week. But if you haven't seen the news, guys, there's not any hard news, but it seems like Mississippi State, they've just been decimated by opt-outs, transfers, COVID. It's like the trifecta, right? And I think as of today, we're recording this Thursday evening, last I heard they were down to 54 players available for this game. And they had their last round of COVID testing today, which is supposed to get those results back early tomorrow morning. So I guess we'll know by lunch tomorrow,
we're playing. Lunch on Friday, yeah.
On Friday.
And 54 is only one more than 53, so.
Wow, you're good at math.
This is what I do all day. Mathematical reasoning.
See, I had put this out of my mind. I had convinced myself we're playing, well, and now you're bringing this up? Are you trying to destroy me?
I am optimistic, but I'm also realistic.
Yeah, you can be optimistic and realistic, but like, why did you have to bring it up on the show? Why do we got to talk about this? Like, I'm trying to be optimistic here. I'm hanging on by a thread, and here you are trying to cut that thread.
I think it's only fair that the listeners also have to put up with your
my what
paranoia and anxiety and all the other things that we deal with as your friends.
How
family
dare you?
On a daily basis.
How
the
dare
random
you?
Text messages.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're making stuff up.
You also send people like random COVID articles. It's like,
I'm trying to be positive. Like I am really trying.
Yeah,
it's hard. Hard out there.
But when other people send you back like, hey, they only have one more person they can lose before the game's canceled, and then it's like your world implodes.
Well, yeah. Well, what do you expect? Like, you know I live for this, and if two games are potentially not played, yeah, they might get rescheduled. Who knows? But if they're not played, like, that sucks.
Yeah, it's entertaining for other people to enjoy.
Oh, you get entertainment out of my misery.
I mean, it's not your misery. It's just
yes, it is.
The way you react to it is entertaining.
Okay, all right. I hate you, but
that's okay.
Okay. But I guess I'm all right. But anyway, look, nobody wants to hear about my mental state. So let's get to the picks. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's get to the picks, which is why everyone is here in the first place. Last week, we had an abbreviated batch of picks to make with all the postponements across the SEC last week. Here we go again, talking about postponements. So with all that happening last week, we called an audible, and we did a combined like surplus mailbag / picks episode. We only picked 5 games because there wasn't that much to choose from. But it was actually our best week of the season from a picks perspective. I finally hit that elusive perfect score on the straight up picks. That's awesome. I had come close a couple different times this season, going 7-1 a couple different times. But last week, I finally nailed it. And yeah, sure, I know the naysayers will say there are only five games to pick, but minor details. I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get. So I did go 5-0 straight up last week, but in an extremely annoying turn of events, I actually didn't gain a game on Charlie, as she also went 5-0. So congratulations, Charlie. Did you have any idea that you went 5-0? Is this the first you're hearing of this?
This is the first I'm hearing of this. I'm shocked.
You don't keep track of the picks like all day long?
No. What? I keep it a surprise and find out on
what you. So you're. I know you watch football. You're paying attention. You don't remember the picks that you made on Friday?
No, I have a horrible memory. So unless I have a spreadsheet like printed out where I keep all of our picks, like I don't remember.
But it doesn't make any sense. Even if you don't have a horrible memory, don't you think? Like, okay, so if you picked, let's say you picked Florida to beat Arkansas on Thursday, and you're watching the Florida-Arkansas game,
I
think Florida's going to win?
Well, I know who I pick overall, like, to win the game. Now, it's the ones
when spread.
I'm picking against the spread that I cannot remember to save my life. But there are times where I'm like, did I pick Florida, or did Tyler pick Florida, or was it the listener that picked that person? Because when we're recording, I'm putting in the picks for everyone. I mean, I put my own in there, so in my mind, they just get jumped.
Well, you got to earn your keep around
here. It's like a crossword puzzle in my brain, and I can't. All the letters and numbers are just going together.
See, I know exactly what I pick.
Yeah,
no. I'm watching every game, like living and dying with it, because I want to beat you. I'm not gonna lie, I want to beat you every week.
It's real great for the Pick'em League because they pick such random games that. I am horrible about being able to log into the thing because I can't ever remember.
Yeah, you text me like every Friday, like, can you help me with this? I forgot how to sign in. I'm like, I don't even. Actually, you texted me last week. I forgot how to get to the page.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
You've been doing
this for 2 months.
I know. I handed my phone to my husband and told him to figure out how to pull it up. And then I think I did it in like 2 minutes. And because I get really frustrated with the confidence picks. Because they pick games.
Yeah, you always complain about that.
That can go either way. Like, there are so many games that could take so many spots. So, last week I was just clicking move here, press submit within
scientific
like 2 minutes.
Guys, right here. You've heard it. Well, I mean, like, if go back to the spread. You say you forgot about the spread. Like, let's be real. Like, you just figured out how the spread worked like a year ago.
I still find it confusing.
I don't understand. I get it if you haven't been like looking at it your entire life or your adult life, but like, to me, it's like I don't see how you don't understand. You're an incredibly intelligent individual, and I just don't understand how you don't.
I understand it. I just have to think really hard about it in order to understand what I'm looking at.
It's very simple. If the team that's favored,
thank you for making me feel dumb.
I'm not trying to make you. Well, you've made me feel dumb every week.
Luckily, I don't care if you think I'm dumb.
I don't think you're dumb. I just called you an incredibly intelligent individual. I just like it's just interesting to me how someone who is so intelligent can't figure out something that I find to be very simple, because I'm not a smart man. I'm like a Forrest Gump man. I'm not a smart man over here, guys. But I can figure out. I just feel like someone who has as much intelligence as you should be able to handle that.
I just have to think about it.
Okay, fair enough. And to your credit, like, it's not something that you haven't been a sports gambler for very long.
No.
So I get it. Fair enough. I get it. But Charlie, you also went 5-0, so congratulations. A little golf clap for you here. Our guest host, Todd, who sent in his picks, had a pretty solid week as well. He went out on a limb. I got to give the guy credit. He went out on a limb, took a flyer on South Carolina over Ole Miss, and I got to respect that. I respect the courage there, man. But he ended up going 3-2 straight up. All that means that Charlie is still in the lead in our straight-up standings with a 44-19 record. Yes, I'm still two games back with a 42-21 record. That's got to change. Got to change quickly. We're running out of weeks here. And our guest hosts are coming in at 37-26. Charlie and I both also went 4-1 against the spread because she copied my picks. Todd went 2-3, which means I still have a comfortable lead in our against the spread standings with a 37-26 overall record. Charlie trailing me by a couple of games at 33-30. And our guest hosts coming in at 30-33 overall against the spread. And this week, guys, we had planned on having a guest host again this week, but it's just proving really hard to get a hold of the people that win the Pick'em League each week. We're trying to get a hold of people, but we're having a hard time making that happen. We tried to work out a backup plan, but it was a little too late in the week to make that work out. So, yeah, it's just me and Charlie again this week, but we will do our best to have someone back again for the Thanksgiving slate next week. So we'll try. We'll try our best. And again, if you are doing the Pick'em League, which is awesome, we have a lot of people doing that. It's been a lot of fun. And you notice that you win that week or you're up near the top, just send us a DM and we'll let you know how to contact us and how to get up on here, because we definitely want you guys that are winning the Pick'em League each week to be able to join us on the show. We always have fun with that interaction. But today, Charlie and I, we're going at it and we're gonna make this happen. And there are almost just as many games postponed this week as there were last week. But fortunately, most of the SEC games this week, unlike last week, are still in play as of right now. So we have a full slate of games to pick today. We got 8 games for you guys. Charlie, what's up first today?
All right, first up, Ohio State will host Indiana this weekend after having an unexpected bye week last week, one of those canceled games. We all know Ohio State will most likely get one of the college football playoff spots with likely Heisman contender Justin Fields.
Do you really think that, though? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Like, so Ohio State already lost one game. They're already playing a shortened season because the Big Ten started so late. They've already lost one game to a cancellation. If they get another game or two canceled, which is very possible, do you really think they're going to have enough games, enough data points that the college football playoff committee is going to put them in?
I think they're a favorite, I think.
Just because they're a big
boy? I wouldn't
boy?
Be shocked, yeah. Their name.
Just because their name, yeah. Status. That's a shame. But yeah, it'll probably happen. You're
but
right,
they
sorry.
Have Justin Fields. The spread is 20.5 in favor of the Buckeyes, but Indiana has surprised a lot of people this season. Well, this seems like a lot. It probably isn't for the high-powered offense under Ryan Day, so I'll go with Ohio State to win and cover. Tyler?
Yeah, this is one of those games where it's pretty obvious who the more talented team is, and the line reflects that. It's almost 3 touchdowns here. The line also reflects the fact that it is patently absurd that Indiana is ranked inside the top 10. Huh? Indiana, top 10? Like, what are we talking about here? Yeah, you're 4-0, cool. But the 4 teams you have beaten are combined 3-13. Guys, right now, Indiana, yeah, 4-0, cool, awesome. But they're averaging 0.1 yards per play more than their opponents this year. They are getting by the skin of their teeth, and they haven't played anyone worth anything this year. I'm not saying Indiana is trash. They aren't. I've watched 3 of their games this year. They're pretty good. They're a good, solid top 25 team. They're far better than your average Indiana team. But top 10? I mean, come on. Like, look, Indiana is a solid team. And I know we have our issues, but come on, guys. We would beat Indiana pretty comfortably. So get out of here with that. The top 10 ranking, that's based on nothing more than just sentiment and the fact that it's a good story. Indiana is not normally good. They're beating teams they don't ever really beat. So, hey, good for them, good story. It's also based on the fact that, once again, Michigan and Penn State were woefully overrated coming into the season, and they're getting that credit for beating big brands that are having significantly down years. But you know who isn't down this year, Charlie?
Who?
Ohio State. They're not down this year. They're really, really good. Now, they've only played 3 games this year. I'll say that. Ohio State's only played 3 games. So, I have, like, all my questions about them, because I do have some questions about Ohio State. They haven't all been answered, especially when you talk about that defense. But it's still safe to say they're the class of the Big Ten by a pretty wide margin. Maybe Wisconsin's up there to some degree, but I think Ohio State's clearly the class of the Big Ten. But yeah, again, I still do have a few questions about the defense, especially in the secondary. And I really like Indiana's wide receiver core. I mean, Ty Freifogel, Wap Filer, Peyton Hendershot at tight end. Those guys can play. They have a good group of receivers. And Michael Penix at quarterback, he's good. He's good. He's putting up good numbers, at least the last couple games. But again, the level of competition isn't great. But this is a different animal that they're going against here. And if you look at Ohio State, you mentioned Justin Fields, Charlie. Through 3 games, Justin Fields has been almost perfect. It's truly painful for me to watch. I mean, the guy is 72 of 83, 86.7% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in 3 games against all Big Ten opponents. Not great Big Ten opponents, but still Big Ten opponents. And Indiana simply has no answer for him. They don't have any answer for that offense. For the receivers, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, they don't have answers for those guys. So Ohio State definitely wins this game. I strongly considered going with Indiana to cover the 20.5. Because, again, I have watched them play, and they're a good team. And I think they can keep it close for a half or so. They might be one of those games where at halftime, you're like, oh, man, that's like upset alert. Like all the halftime shows talking about upset alert. You see that flash across your screen. But then the Buckeyes, with all that talent, they're going to pull away for a late cover. So give me Ohio State to win and cover the 20.5.
All right. Unfortunately, Arkansas didn't beat Florida last weekend, but they have a chance to upset LSU on Saturday. Do we know if Sam Pittman will be back on the field? He tested positive early last week. I think
as of right now, he's the plan is yes, as far as I understand.
But he probably hasn't been at practice.
So. Well, I don't know. Like, what's it? Is it 10 days if you test positive?
Yeah.
So it just depends on when he tested positive first. Like, when what? Like, yeah. I don't know. He probably he probably missed a couple days. I've been in the building the entire time.
Well, I've got a stat for you. With LSU only favored by 2 points this season after being favored over the Hogs by 42 last year, this spread ranks as the 10th biggest point spread difference in consecutive years since 1999. Let's not talk about how old we were in 1999.
That's Charlie, bravo. That's an incredible stat.
Well done. Thank you.
Well, did you crunch those numbers yourself?
Took some digging to find that one.
That's a good one. Yeah. I mean, 42-point spread last year, only a 2-point spread this year. That is a massive turnaround. That is what you call a turnaround, no doubt. Yeah. Good stat.
LSU's had a strange season and currently sits at 2-3. The Tigers are missing Joe Brady and Joe Burrow, among others, this season. Really, really missing them.
I mean, everybody on offense from last year, basically.
I think Arkansas has the potential to upset LSU if they play discipline like they have so far this season. So I'm going with the Hogs to win and cover.
A little mild upset here. Okay, yeah, look, it looks like Miles Brennan, the quarterback for LSU, is going to be out again. It looks like he's probably going to be out the rest of the year. Apparently, it's an abdominal issue, some abdominal injury that also is connected to his hip. That sounds not fun. So it looks like he's probably out for the rest of the year. And I can't get past what I saw from the LSU quarterback position against what is like an okay Auburn defense that last time we saw them on Halloween. That was just an incredibly bad look. And LSU just really is not a good football team, especially on defense. And with Miles Brennan out, they aren't really good on offense either. I mean, right now they're 13th in the SEC in total defense, 11th in the league in scoring defense, 14th in the league in pass defense, and 12th in explosive plays allowed. This is a horrific defense. They're very bad. They're not like Ole Miss level bad, but they're very bad. And Arkansas is not like, they're not a great football team, but they're a good, solid football team and a very well-rounded team. Felipe Franks, like in the surprise of all surprises, the greatest turnaround in the history of turnarounds, is playing very efficiently at quarterback this year for Arkansas. While the LSU quarterback situation, as I said, it's bad. It got ugly against Auburn. Max Johnson looked much better than Finley did when he got in there. And now, obviously, that was late in the game and garbage time, but he looked pretty decent. We'll see how much playing time he gets this week. But I like the Hogs to control this game with their offensive balance. LSU just hasn't shown me that they can stop anyone with a pulse. And Arkansas, while they're not great, they got a pulse. So I'm with you here, Charlie. I'm going to take the Hogs to win in a mild upset in Fayetteville.
All right. Number 10, Wisconsin will travel to Northwestern that is currently ranked number 19. I feel like that's a pretty good ranking for Northwestern.
For Northwestern, yeah.
Yeah. So I actually looked at the AP poll history for Northwestern, and their highest or best ranking was as number 3 in 1995, and they were ranked number 13 in 1996 and as recently as 2015.
Yeah, they made a run to the Big Ten title game a couple years back.
I would personally love to go to a game in Northwestern, but I would want it to be, like, in September.
So it'll be awesome, but then, like, we got Georgia games going on. Like, how does that happen? How does
so
that work?
So cold.
Chicago's just an awesome town. It's fantastic. I mean, it's not necessarily exactly Chicago, but close enough.
Anyways, Northwestern is currently 4-0, and Wisconsin is 2-0, coming off a huge win at the Big House last weekend against Michigan. They've been on cloud nine all week, I'm sure, so that may make it tough for the Badgers to get up for a game against Northwestern, but I think Paul Chris will have his team ready to play, especially since it's only their third game of the season. They must hate that. They've only played two games.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Would you wait as long as they did to play and the protocols between us in place? Yeah. I mean, set up for failure.
But I think the Badgers will win and cover this one, but it may get closer than we think. I don't know. We'll see. What about you?
I'm kind of like, to go back to what you just alluded to, Charlie, I'm still not sure how good Wisconsin is when they've only played a handful of games this year. Like, they're good. They're a good team. I'm not saying they're not good. They are. But, like, exactly how good is Wisconsin right now? Northwestern is kind of like Arkansas. They're not great. They're not championship caliber by any stretch, but they're a good, solid team that plays good defense. They're efficient on offense. And I watched the entire game that they played versus Purdue. I watched it on Tuesday. Yeah, the game was played Saturday. That's what I do, guys. I record games. I can't watch them all. I want to watch as many games as possible. So I save games like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I black out and don't look at games. So, yes, that's what I do. I'm weird. But I watched that entire game on Tuesday, and I was impressed with how much they've improved offensively. They averaged under 300 yards a game last year, guys, on offense. They were very bad. And the difference is clearly Peyton Ramsey was a transfer from Indiana, and he's come in and really stabilized that offense and given them a little bit of a punch offensively. They're still not great offensively, averaging about 360 or so yards a game, but still much better, much more efficient than they were last year. They're competent, which is better than where they were a year ago. But if you look at Wisconsin, like, who is Graham Mertz? Who is this guy? Yeah, I know he's a former highly rated recruit. He's the quarterback that they've got. There's a lot of hype coming into the season. And he played nearly perfectly versus Illinois. I mean, he lived up to the hype against Illinois in week one, 20-21, 248 yards, 5 touchdowns. And the hype train is certainly taking off after a game like that. But then he comes back last week. Yeah, he had COVID, I know. He missed some practice time. That factors into it. But then against Michigan, yeah, they destroyed Michigan, but he was pretty pedestrian. 12-22, 127 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Solid numbers. I mean, decent, but he wasn't why they won the game. They ran all over Michigan. So, who is this guy exactly? Is he more what we saw against Illinois, or is he what we saw against Michigan? Is it somewhere in the middle? Like, what exactly do we know about him? I don't know if we know a ton. So, again, I kind of just don't know what to make of Wisconsin. They destroyed both teams they've played, but those teams are combined 2-6. Like, again, how good are you? I'm with you, Charlie. I would love for Northwestern to pull the upset here, and I'll be rooting for that. I think they're going to be in it because they play good defense and they're efficient on offense. But I just think at the end of the day, Wisconsin has a little too much firepower and ends up winning this one with a late, late cover. Give me Wisconsin to win and barely cover the 7.5. And Charlie, I know that we're rolling along here today, but I want to stop before I forget and remind everyone about MyBookie, the best place to take all the knowledge you guys get here on our weekly Picks of the Week episodes and make yourselves a little cash. A little spending money never hurts with all the holidays coming up here over the next month or so. So get some skin in the game with MyBookie, where they have the odd boost, lightning deals, free bets all season long. They're sitting there waiting on you guys. And with Thanksgiving right around the corner, there really is no better time to feast on some NFL action. So whether you're a first-time customer or you've been with MyBookie for years like Charlie and I have, it doesn't matter. There's no shortage of value to be found in the thousands and thousands of game lines, all the unique prop bets, the contests they offer each and every week. So sign up or get reloaded today. Find your edge, make your bet, and get paid, guys. It's that simple. And if sports betting's not necessarily your thing, if you prefer the old school casino stuff, well, they've got that for you guys too. And the best part is, at MyBookie, the doors never close with all the classic table, slot, and card games. You can play whenever you want, whenever it works for you guys. You can continue to build your bankroll even after the stadium lights have gone out. So make the right play, guys. Make the obvious play and sign up today at MyBookie. And when you do, use promo code OVERTIME to get your deposit matched halfway all the way up to $1,000. It's winning season at MyBookie, so come join in on the fun and win some cash while you're at it.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
All right. Next up, we have a battle among the group of five teams with UCF hosting the Cincinnati Bearcats. Cincinnati is a favorite by 6, and all I've been hearing the past 2 weeks is that Cincinnati should be a playoff contender.
Because they should be.
Yeah.
I know you don't agree.
You think so?
I do.
I don't know. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're 7-0, but...
Have you watched them play? They're very good.
I mean, but isn't that different than playing a Power 5 team every week?
The American is, okay.
I feel like if they were playing Power 5 teams, their depth would not allow them to continue because they would get so banged up that they wouldn't
be able to.
There's
some pretty good American Conference teams. Like, okay, let me just ask, I agree. The American is not the SEC. It's not the Big Ten. It's probably not even the ACC. But how many teams in the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are actually better than teams like UCF and Tulsa and Cincinnati and Memphis and Houston. How many of those teams are better than those teams? I think those teams can hold their own against most of the teams in the Big 12 and the Pac 12.
Maybe a week here and a week there.
Okay. I see what you're saying, and you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
You're gonna go play an S. You're gonna go play a schedule where you have to play Penn State. You gotta play Georgia. You gotta play even Vandy. I mean, come on. There's just more money at those programs.
Sure.
They have bigger, faster, better players. Mm-hmm. And if the Group of Five are playing those teams every week, they're gonna get knocked out, and they're. Depth is not going to allow them to keep playing at the same level that they're currently playing.
I think that's true.
Week in and week out.
I think you make a really good point. That's true of most Group of Five teams. That's a strong point. And most years, I'm totally with you. But this Cincinnati team, you watch them play, like, they're not an SEC team, but, like, man, they're really good on defense. They're good on offense. I don't know. Like, this is a team that, like, are they as good as, like, who would you put in the playoff right now? Who would you put in the playoff over them? So let's say you've got the winner of the ACC championship game, whether it's Clemson or Notre Dame, okay, they get in. The winner of the SEC championship game, probably Florida or Alabama. Let's hope to God it's Alabama. So you got Alabama, you got Clemson and or Notre Dame. Who's your third team? Ohio State?
I think Ohio State.
Okay, and I agree. Probably they'll put them in. Who gets that fourth spot?
I bet you they put Notre Dame in.
If they're a one loss,
mm-hmm.
They probably Absolutely. Will. They will. They
and
will definitely
their
do that.
Name is Notre Dame.
Notre Dame or a one-loss Oklahoma State that wins the Big 12.
Yeah.
If that one loss to Texas when they outgained Texas by 270 yards.
Yeah. There's too many other teams you can justify.
They won't. You're right. Yeah.
A group of five teams.
They won't because of the competition
it'll
schedule.
It'll be like the other year where it was like, was it Notre Dame that got killed? I know that when we played in the Rose Bowl, Alabama killed Clemson.
Yes, in the Sugar Bowl.
Playoff,
in the Sugar Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Well, they beat them. Yeah, they pretty
I
much.
I mean,
yeah.
You watch the Rose Bowl and then you watch the Sugar Bowl and you're like, these are two totally different games.
Yes, yes. Very different games.
Yeah, I just don't think that they're going to want to put... If we even get that far, like, I'm not convinced...
That we're going to have a playoff?
That we're going to have it.
Yeah, who knows? There you go doing that again. I will say Cincinnati... Are they going to be Ohio State? No. Are they going to be Clemson? No. Are they going to be Alabama? No. Are they going to be Notre Dame? I know Notre Dame beat Clemson, but I just still feel like...
On a one-off, but not...
I don't think they're going to be any of those teams even on a one-off. So I will say, like, I think Oklahoma State is...
But you said they might be able to beat Notre Dame.
Maybe.
Right, but that's one team. That's not...
Yeah.
10 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, I agree. That's fair. When I watch Cincinnati play, and yeah, it's tough to sometimes tell because they are playing Group of Five opponent, but that is a really good football team. Like, they're really, really good. And I respect for them. Now, again, are they one of the four best teams in America? Probably not. But, okay, you've convinced me.
What?
You've convinced me.
Yes!
I will give you credit here.
I get a win for the day.
But I'll say this. Like, I don't like when people just dismiss them out of hand and say, oh, well, they're a Group of Five team. They're not good. They're not that good.
No.
I think they can really compete against some high-level teams. I think they can really... I'm not saying they're going to beat those teams. I think they can at least compete.
But, yeah. Well,
I mean, think about Notre Dame going to the playoff against Clemson a couple years ago, right? They got freaking destroyed. Think about Oklahoma all those years. I think Cincinnati this year is pretty much as good as Oklahoma has been the past couple years when they got in the college football playoff. They just don't play in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Well,
but you've convinced me. I'll give you this round.
Cincinnati can score, so I think they're going to win and cover this one. Go Bearcats.
Go Bearcats. All right. I just realized last week, by the way, and this is totally embarrassing. I just realized, I was just curious, I was looking this up. I was like, what, a bearcat? Is this a real thing? So I looked it up, and apparently, Charlie, did you know this? Bearcats are real animals. There's a real animal that's a bearcat.
Yeah.
I always thought it was just like a they wanted to be unique.
You thought so, they created their own
I
animal.
Thought, like, instead of a wildcat, like, you know, let's be different. Let's go with a bearcat. Like, I've never seen a bearcat in my life. When have you ever been around a bearcat?
I know that it's an animal.
Where do bearcats live?
I hope that I'm never around.
Do they live in Ohio?
I hope that I'm never around.
Why are they the bearcats?
Why are they the bearcats?
I'm serious. I'm going to go back in time, 100 or so, however many years ago, when they're creating, like, when the University of Cincinnati decides, okay, we're going to have athletics, we want a mascot. They're like, what mascot should we be? Who said, I know, bearcats? Like, where did that come from? Are they from Cincinnati? Like, is it a local Ohioan thing? Like,
well, I just searched it, and apparently they're native to Southeast Asia.
So, okay, why are the Cincinnati Bearcats Bearcats?
And their urine smells like popcorn.
Like hot buttered popcorn.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I mean, I did know it was an actual animal. I did not know these facts.
I just want the background, like, why the Bearcat was selected.
Or it smells like, or they smell like hot. No, why does pee smell like buttered popcorn? Yeah, there you go.
And there's always these programs that just, like, randomly pick names. Like, it's cool. A lot of the programs actually have, like, stories behind why they are what they are. Like, Georgia, we have the story behind why we are the Bulldogs. Go back to Abraham Baldwin and then the AJC, and there's an article and that whole thing. That there's a reason behind it, right? But, and like North Carolina Tar Heels, there's a reason behind the Tar Heels. But Cincinnati Bearcats, like, what are we, like, are we just trying to find the weirdest name ever? Like, I don't know. That's just, I just can't wrap my head around that. Sorry.
We are spending a lot of time on the Cincinnati.
All right, go ahead. Let's go. Yeah, we are. All right, Cincinnati. All right, so what's your pick?
I already picked Cincinnati.
You picked, all right, it's all right, your okay. Turn all right, now. Sorry. The Bearcat thing is just throwing me off. Anyway, this is going to be a good game. I'm actually really excited about this game. These are two teams that played really close last year in Cincinnati. I was actually at Calhoun's on the River in Knoxville, Tennessee, watching this game the Friday night before our game against Tennessee last year, a game that we destroyed them in. Of course we did, because Tennessee sucks. And that was a good game last year. But even though Cincinnati won, they were outgained by nearly 100 yards by UCF. They benefited from three interceptions with a freshman quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. But guys, again, I'll tell you again, like, Cincinnati is legit. They are really, really good. Maybe not one of the top four teams in the country, but they are really, really good. They're balanced. They're lights out on defense. They're top 10 nationally in defense. They're top 5 in yards per play, holding teams under 300 yards total. And you can say, yeah, as Charlie did, well, that's the American Conference. That's true. But they've done that against two top 15 offenses. Desmond Ridder at quarterback has taken the next step. He's a true dual threat guy, a long strider. He's become a better passer, which was an issue for him last year. But UCF is clearly going to be the biggest challenge for the Bearcats to date. They're number one in the country, guys. Central Florida is number one in the country in total offense, averaging 619 yards a game. I did not stutter, 619 yards a game. And you might say, well, Tyler, you've got to go with UCF since you've been talking for weeks about how good offense beats good defense in modern college football. And that's true. I have been saying that. But the difference between us versus Alabama and Cincy versus UCF is that, okay, yeah, it's elite defense in Cincinnati versus elite offense in UCF, sure. But the Cincinnati offense is far better and far more explosive than our offense is. And Central Florida is giving up 450 yards a game. The Knights are going to score on Cincy, but Cincy will score more on a poor Central Florida defense. But it's going to be a fun one regardless. I'm really excited to watch this game. It's a 3:30 game. If Cincy wins this one, I was going to say they might sneak into the playoffs. Like, I think it would definitely take some fortunate things to happen for them. Like, Notre Dame's going to have to get upset by North Carolina and then lose to Clemson in the ACC title game. I think you have to have the Big 12 champion has to have two losses. So, like, it's not impossible, but, yeah, it's unlikely. I'll go with you there, Charlie. I think it's unlikely to get in, but I think there's still a chance there. Because if it's going to happen, if a group of five teams is going to get in, it's going to be this year, if that's ever going to happen. With the Big Ten, the Pac-12 playing shortened schedules and whatnot. But you're right, though. I think it's still highly unlikely. But give me Cincinnati to win and cover. It's going to be a tight one, but I think they cover this one late.
All right. The Bedlam series will take place on Saturday with the number 14 Oklahoma State Cowboys rolling into Stillwater to play number 19 Oklahoma. Mike Gundy and his boys have had a great year so far, only losing one game to Texas. While the Sooners have had a decent season, but they certainly haven't played as well this year as they have in the recent past. I think the home field advantage will work for Oklahoma. I'm going with the Sooners to win, but I think Oklahoma State will keep it closer than 7 to make it an interesting day in Oklahoma.
I'm excited for this one too, man. Like, other than our game, I think the Cincy game and this Oklahoma State game, the Bedlam game, these are two exciting games. I'm excited for these games. Hopefully they get played. But look, I know you mentioned, Charlie, Oklahoma State lost to Texas back on Halloween night. But I still really like this Cowboy team. They outgained Texas by 230 yards, just had 4 turnovers. I know you can say, well, just had 4 turnovers. That's why they lost the game. They outplayed them other than that. And the Oklahoma offense, they're still really good. But Spencer Rattler, guys, he's not Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield or Jalen Hurts yet. He may get there, but he's not there yet. He also does not have the weapons around him this year that they usually have the past couple years. There's no CeeDee Lamb out there. There's no Hollywood Brown. They don't have those kind of guys. But Oklahoma State does. They have those kind of guys offensively. They're at full strength. Their three-headed offensive monster is back and at full strength, and they are rolling. And this is the best defense Oklahoma has played all year. It's a top one or two defense in the Big 12 from week to week there with West Virginia. It's kind of like Cincy and UCF. Two good offenses that are both going to put up a lot of points, but I think the Pokes defense gets just enough stops. And I think Spencer Rattler, he's still mistake prone. I think he makes a crucial mistake or two. So give me Oklahoma State. I'm actually surprised they're a full touchdown underdog in this game. Give me the Pokes to pull the upset and keep their slim-ish playoff hopes alive.
All right, this next game could get really ugly. I'm talking about the Vols going to Auburn to take on the Tigers at Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday. Auburn has had a typical Auburn year, and Tennessee has now lost four in a row. And yet, Tennessee recently extended Jeremy Pruitt's contract a few months ago. I'm not sure what they were thinking there.
Well, that was before he had a four-game losing streak.
They may be regretting that decision now. I don't think Pruitt is going to be able to inspire his players and coaches after four straight losses, with the most recent loss to Arkansas 2 weeks ago. I think Auburn will get another win this weekend, and they'll even cover because Tennessee is just going to start falling apart if they haven't already.
Challenge accepted.
Oh.
Okay. So, look, I know. Okay. Maybe. I know both these teams are going opposite directions. You're right, Charlie. Tennessee losing four straight. Auburn blowing out LSU last time we saw them. But again, LSU is bad, guys. They're just a bad football team. And I think this line, like 10.5, like Auburn should probably be favoring this game, but 10.5, I saw that number and I was like, huh? I think that's an overreaction to all of that, what's happened recently. Because when you look at these two teams and break down their rosters, I don't think they're all that different. I mean, they're questionable in the trenches. They both have inconsistent quarterback play. Although I would say Bo Nix probably has a higher ceiling. The quarterback play for both teams is still inconsistent. They have a coach that either is or has been on the hot seat. Secondaries that should be better than they are, although Auburn's only been playing better of late. Auburn has played better than Tennessee. Sure, they have played better this year. They're plus 84 total yards in the year. Not great, but better than Tennessee, which is minus 537. But I'd also say that's kind of misleading because Auburn has not played Alabama yet, while Tennessee has. So that certainly factors into their total yards differential. But again, the talent level, when you look at the talent on these two rosters, I just don't think the talent level is all that different. And yeah, again, I know Tennessee is scuffling of late. I get that. And I know Jeremy Pruitt is feeling the heat. And I've loved every second of it. Like I'm eating this stuff up. But I just got that feeling about this game, which I know is very unscientific, but I got that feeling. But let me try to make sense of it. Look, Tennessee has had 2 weeks to hear how bad they are. You don't think that Pruitt's going to be able to motivate them, Charlie. You just said that, right?
Correct.
But I don't know. I mean, Pruitt, like, his style doesn't motivate me. Maybe it'll motivate them. I don't know. But I fully expect Tennessee to come out swinging this week to try to salvage their season and maybe their coach's job. Who knows? Maybe his job.
But the problem is that the second that they start going downhill,
the second something goes wrong,
the wheels fall off. He can't control himself, which then means the whole team just completely collapses.
He's the anti-Mark Richt.
Right. Like, he has no composure. He can't see past that current play.
He sees red. Yes. His face, his head, it all gets red.
He sees the short term, not the long term.
Okay. I like it. That's fair.
Like, he can't see, like, okay, this is one play, regroup, give him some encouragement, go back out there on the next series.
You're right. You don't see him like actually like encourage guys very often. It's just like, blah, it's like bloody murder. I'm going to kill you. It's like, okay, I guess that works for some people.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for me. Sorry. Anyways.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. But I expect them to come out swinging, whether it's their coach or not. Like, these guys got pride, and they've heard how bad they are for a couple weeks now, and I think they're going to come out swinging in this game. And on top of that, Auburn has Bama next week. Let's not forget about that. This is a prime look-ahead spot. Tennessee struggling. Four-game losing streak. You got Alabama next week. You're still technically kind of alive in the SEC West race, although you're not really, but still kind of technically, mathematically. This is a prime look-ahead spot for Auburn. It really is. And Bo Nix, yes, he plays way better at home. His splits are crazy. His home-away splits are crazy. He's way better at home. But I just don't expect him to play like he did against LSU. That was the game of his life, at least as a college quarterback. So far in his career, that's the anomaly. That's not the rule. That's not who this guy is game in and game out. I don't think he can't be that good again. I mean, he hasn't shown they can do that two games in a row. And Jared Guarantano, like, he's not good, all right, guys? We've established that. Jared Guarantano is not good. But saying that, he's capable of moments of lucidity where he plays lights out in an isolated game. Like last year against, late in the season last year, about this time last year against Missouri, he threw for over 400 yards in that game. Played really well, but that's not who he is game in and game out. But he's capable of those moments, and maybe this is one of those spots. And yeah, we talked all year how the Tennessee offensive line is certainly overrated, but they're pretty good in the run game. And the Auburn front seven isn't very good against the run. They're ninth in the league stopping the run. I think UT will be able to establish the run. And Jim Chaney, we know this, guys. Like, say what you want about him, but he can scheme up a good game plan. Now, adjustments in-game, that's a different story, but scheming up a game plan, especially when he has an extra week, he can do that. I think Tennessee's going to be in this game. I think it really just comes down to what Bo Nix shows up. What version of Bo Nix do we see on Saturday? And I got to go with the upset special. I like to go with the upset special every single week. So I'm going to go on a limb on this one. And I'm going to take the Volunteers to pull the road upset at the site of Jeremy Pruitt's only big win as a head coach. I mean, really, the only big win this guy has is that win against Auburn, his first year as the head coach on the road in Auburn. So I think he does it again. I'm going to take a flyer on this one, my upset special of the week. Give me the Volunteers.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
All right, another SEC game in the primetime window is Mizzou at South Carolina. The Gamecocks have had a wrench thrown in their season, with Muschamp being fired last Sunday after losing to Ole Miss, making their record 2-5 this season. Former UGA offensive coordinator Mike Bobo will be the interim head coach for the rest of the season. So, good for him. Good for him.
Well, he's getting paid $1.5 million to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still, good for him. In addition to firing the head coach, there have been four South Carolina players that have decided to forgo the rest of the season in order to prepare for the NFL draft in the spring. No, you just...
Yeah, that's a bad look. Like, it's a bad look. It's not like it's the bowl game. Like, the bowl game, I don't like that. That's one thing. Like, the rest of the season, that's a bad look. Bad look.
Those four players have combined for 22 starts, 66 tackles, and 4 of the 6 interceptions the team has made this season. With all the drama around the program, South Carolina is a 6.5-point home dog. I think Vegas got this one right. Missouri will win and cover, possibly by a lot. And let me just say, with the players foregoing the rest of the season, so if I was an NFL scout, I would say, nope, I don't like that. You're just going to quit? Like...
It's all about you?
Right.
Think it says something about their character.
And I know the NFL is a totally different thing. And NFL scouts probably like that they're foregoing the rest of the season, because that means that their bodies are in better shape and they're not getting, you know, thrown around. However, to me, it just says, me. Oh, tough luck. Good for you. Go do what you can. I'm out.
Yeah, that's what society's... We've talked about this before in the show, but that's what society's become for the most part. There's isolated cases where it's not, but it's all about... I gotta take care of me, right? I gotta take care of me, and who cares what that does to other people? And right. I get that thinking. Like, okay, you have one chance, you gotta make it. I get the thinking. I just have a problem. To me, you can say that that's the right move because you gotta protect your NFL career, but at the same time, you also have to allow me to call that selfish. Because that it is. It's selfish. It's the definition of being selfish.
You made a commitment, and my question would be, what happens with their scholarship? Like, I know they only have like a few weeks left. If they were gonna,
they get to keep it.
Right, but that just...
Well, a lot of these guys will withdraw from school. And they'll just go train for the NFL draft somewhere else right now.
Right. But...
Like, okay. getting a college degree to them is not the same as you.
I know.
It doesn't mean the same thing as it means to you. Because they're going to go a different route than you went. But, like, it's almost like we've made a virtue out of selfishness. Which, I just don't... I can't be down with that. I get it. I get where people are coming from, but... I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I think where you're coming from on this, right? It's just, The idea that we're making a virtue out of being selfish. Because that's like, you can say that yeah, they got to look out for themselves, but at the same time, you have to recognize that is literally the definition of being selfish.
And the problem is that young kids, teenagers see this happening, so yeah. Then they think, okay, if I don't want to do something anymore, I don't have to do it.
What does commitment mean anymore?
Okay, no, you don't have a choice. Like, no, you don't get to just leave. Yeah. No, you've signed up for it. You made a commitment. You need to finish it and see it through. But I know I am probably not on
I know people are page. Like shaking their heads, like cursing at us right now, like calling us idiots while they're listening to this. Yeah. And we probably are, but that's just kind of how. I mean, I didn't know you were on the same page with me on this. I that makes sense. That sounds like you.
Are you kidding me?
We've just never talked about
you
that.
You start something, you finish
we've
it.
We've never talked about it like that, but that sounds like you. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you on that. Where was I? But yeah,
Missouri.
So, yeah,
South
so
Carolina.
You picked Missouri.
Yeah.
And you think by a lot.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I mean, I think they'll cover.
I think you're right. I'm not even sure. Like, talking about commitment, like, why is South Carolina even playing this game? All these players just opting out. Like, what are they doing?
They might have too many positive cases.
I mean, good God.
I mean, I don't know anything about South Carolina's positivity rate. I'm just saying, you never know.
I mean, it's not that Missouri's great. They're fine. They're not bad. They're fine. But South Carolina is just a mess. I mean, obviously, they are a mess with Muschamp just getting fired. I mean, look, guys, they were 12th in passing yards allowed in the SEC, 13th in pass defense efficiency, giving up an SEC-high 18 touchdown passes coming into this week. And now they are without their three top players in the secondary with R.J. Roderick, J.C. Horn, Israel Mukwamu, all three opting out. Their three best players in the secondary gone. Their head coach gone. And they're supposed to be better? Like, no, they're gonna be a train wreck in the secondary. And Missouri isn't like necessarily a dynamic passing offense, but they're throwing for 250 a game. It might be 350, 450 this week. I mean, Connor Bazelak, as a freshman, like once he's been inserted in the starting lineup, like that offense has been playing a lot better. He's a good quarterback. He's not elite yet, but he's a good, talented guy, and he absolutely has some receivers to throw to. If Hazleton's back healthy, they've got some guys that can make some plays against just a basically non-existent South Carolina secondary this week. That's what it's going to be. Offensively, Kevin Harris at running back is a really great fit for Mike Bobo's pro-style offense. I mean, he's just a throwback, physical running back, and five touchdowns, 250 last week against Ole Miss, which is the worst defense in SEC history, probably. But Missouri defense is respectable enough with guys like Nick Bolton, Tyree Gillespie, that I think that they can handle that rushing attack. Now, I will say that Missouri is battling COVID issues themselves, and they're low on players in their own right, but they're at least functional right now. I mean, South Carolina just can't stop anyone. They've given up, try to get this number. They've given up 1,779 yards over the last three games. Do the math on that, Charlie. That's essentially 600 yards a game. That's 21 yards short of 600 yards a game over the last three games.
That's a lot.
600 yards a game. And you have your three best players in secondary opt out? Like, they might give up 900. I mean, Missouri's not that good offensively. But they might give up 600 again. They very well could. So I'm going Missouri to win and also cover. I think this is my lock of the week. I mean, this is my lock of the week, right? I mean, how can South Carolina win this game?
Say it with confidence.
This is the lock of the week.
Got it.
Go to MyBookie right now. I mean, well, don't listen to me. But like, if you want to win some money, I think this is the lock of the week.
Noted. Okay. Well, the Dogs may get to play this weekend after having an unexpected bye week last week. I guess we'll find out tomorrow, which is Friday afternoon, early.
Yeah, Friday comes after Thursday.
Well, I know, but people don't know when we're recording.
The first thing I said was, hey, we're recording this on Thursday at the beginning
Did
of the show.
You? I don't know. Sometimes I don't listen to you.
Oh,
anyways,
yeah.
Hopefully this gave the coaches and players an opportunity to get back to the basics and get players more reps, especially at quarterback. Mike Leach's offense will bring the air raid to Athens, and hopefully you got a quick history lesson on it from Tyler in the last Glory UGA podcast. All UGA fans and football fans in general have been talking about Georgia's quarterback situation all season. Hopefully we'll see JT Daniels out there on Saturday, but who knows? Time will tell.
We're going to see JT Daniels.
Are we? Okay, sounds good. If we play. He's probably the best.
Shut up.
It's probably the best chance we have to cover the 25 against the SEC West Bulldogs. I'm going to go with Georgia to win. I was going to pick Mississippi State to cover, but now knowing that they're down to 54 players.
It changes things for you.
That changes it. Yeah. So, yeah. Now I'm going to pick Georgia to win and cover.
You usually don't like these big spreads. You shy away from them. So the number's just killing you. Okay, fair.
I've picked big spreads to be covered in this season, and I've gotten screwed each time.
I know.
One of them was Bama one time. One of them was us. Yeah, got screwed. No, I picked the under.
We don't pick unders on this show. What are you talking about?
I didn't pick Georgia to cover when we had, like, who was it? It was a big spread. I didn't pick us to cover it, and then we covered it.
Basically, every game we play has been a big spread other than the last two games.
Right, but whatever I choose, I lose.
Okay, fair enough.
So, anyways, right. What's your pick if we play?
God, there you are again. Look, let me end the suspense here. We are going to win this game. I'm not going to sit here and try to build the drama. We are winning this football game. No questions asked. By 25? Now, Charlie, I'm with you. That's the question. By 25? I don't
Wait,
know.
Is it 25 or 20?
25.
I thought we had it as 20.
It's 25.
It's 25. Oh, see, now I'm going back and forth.
I mean, it goes up and down, but I don't think it was ever 20. It was, I think it opened like 24 and a half, maybe.
Okay. No. No.
25. Oh, now you're changing?
It's just a lot of points.
Make your pick.
Yeah. We'll cover.
Okay. All right. I like it. I like it. So, yeah, like, that's the question. But, like, I'll say, and I said this on the preview show on, what was it, whatever, Wednesday, I guess, is when I recorded that. But Mississippi State, I'll say it again for anyone who missed that, but go listen to it. I think you guys will enjoy that. Mississippi State is arguably the worst team in the SEC. And I know, yeah, you can say, well, they beat Vanderbilt, so they're not the worst team. Yeah, they did beat Vanderbilt at home, but they also got outgained like 270 yards in that game, and they benefited from five turnovers. So I think you can still make the argument that they're the worst team in the league. And on top of that, they have all these players opting out and transferring on top of the COVID issues. As we're saying here, barely enough players to play if, here I am saying, if we're even able to play. And some teams have been able to overcome that. Like, you know, Wisconsin had all those COVID issues and they go into Ann Arbor and destroy Michigan. Some teams have been able to overcome that when they're equally or more talented than their opponent. But when you were Mississippi State and you were out-talented by miles and miles and miles to start with, and now you barely have enough players to even play, it's going to be tough for them to hang. It's going to be tough. Especially when it's a bizarro dog offense that hasn't broken 300 yards of offense in a month and a half and hasn't gone for more than 217 yards in the last three games. And now on top of that, they're facing the best defense they faced all year on the road. So yeah. We are winning this game, and they aren't scoring much. The big question, though, is can we score enough? That is the question. Can we score enough to cover 25? JT Daniels, it's almost certain. Looks like he's going to get the start from everything that I'm hearing. If not, he's certainly going to play. George Pickens is back. Kenny McIntosh is healthy. I think Kenny McIntosh was quickly becoming our best running back, our most complete running back before the injury against Alabama. And the Mississippi State defense is good. It has kept them in games. They haven't really been getting blown out in all these losses, except for the Bama game that they lost 41-0, but it's Bama. You expect that. But they are decimated right now on defense, and you got key players opting out. You had Nathan Pickering, who's a former top 100 player. He's a key rotation player on the defensive line. You have their starting safety, Murphy, opting out. From what I've heard most recently, they got 22 players on defense right now. They got two deep. That's not much in the SEC, guys. And we've got so much more depth in them, even though we've had some injuries on our own right. I don't think we're going to put on a scoring clinic by any stretch. We're not there yet offensively. But this is a bad, bad Mississippi State football team. And I think, again, yeah, we're winning this game. You know what? I think we're going to cover as well. I think we finally see some light at the end of the tunnel offensively with JT Daniels at quarterback. And, of course, you know, we're going to momentarily be happy, but we can't enjoy that because everyone's going to start screaming about why wasn't JT Daniels playing earlier. You know that's happening, Charlie, right? If he comes out and plays well, that's what we're going to hear. It's not going to be like, oh, Georgia's offense played well. It's going to be like, why wasn't JT Daniels playing earlier?
Yeah.
That's going to happen. But, yeah, dogs win, dogs cover. The real dogs win. Real dogs cover. But that's it, Charlie, right? That's it? Last one?
That's it.
All right, guys. That's it for today here on the Glory UGA podcast. We definitely appreciate you guys joining us as you do each and every week here on our pick shows. We always love these shows. A lot of fun to do. Hope you guys enjoyed as much as we do. Have a safe and fun football weekend. Enjoy that football Saturday, guys. Hopefully, we'll get out there and play. Hopefully, some of you guys will be able to make it to Sanford Stadium and check out the dogs against the Bizarro Dogs. But thanks for listening. For Charlie, I'm Tyler. And as always, go Dawgs!